say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Terry McEwen, the CEO of Soulkicks, joined us on Business Rockstars recently and shared his tips for creating a great company culture.
And that's what we want them to, like, put their guard down and realize, like, this is the place to have fun, this is the place to relax, and that's where creative juices really flow, is when you don't have guards up. And me being the creative is like I really encourage that. So I try to break barriers. I try to get people to just, like, enjoy, like, hey, if you want to draw on the wall, draw on the wall.
Yeah.
And with that, people now, like, come up with really creative ideas, and we're like, hey, that's gold. That, no, we can workshop that. And that's like, hey, great idea, but just, it doesn't work for our brand. And that kind of company culture is huge.
As we just heard, dynamic company culture is crucial to your business. And now for more on that, joining me is Elliot Taylor, the owner of Elliot Taylor Companies, or Elliot Companies, as you like to call it. So give us a quick recap. Food and beverage industry, what do you guys do?
Several companies, organizations, and brands within vertically integrated within the food and beverage hospitality industry.
I'm super curious. You have a couple different businesses. How do you guys create a dynamic company culture? It's not something that's easy, but it's the key to having a successful long-term business.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just learning as you go. I mean, you know, there's not a perfect platform for creating the best, you know, dynamic for your company, because a lot of industries are very different. And as you know, everybody's trying something different. The community offices to the, you know, sleeping rooms to, you know, food and serving beer and wine in the offices. I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah.
For me, it's just, again, it's result-based, you know. If people are you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing and overachieving or over-impressing you and doing above and beyond, you know, you reward them for that. You create an incentive-based environment that's not like, you know, you get a gold star or you get this award or whatever, but it's very more relationship-based, and I think if you can, you know, allow them to be free, you know, is important. I think a lot of companies right now, you were 2 minutes late, or watching the clock and making sure they're doing this on this time or that time, or they were on their cell phone during work hours. It's okay. I don't care about any of that. And anything we're doing, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you were out partying till 4 in the morning and posting about it.
As long as you get the results.
If you get the results and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's none of my business. You can have as much. You can show up for 1 hour of work. But if you're getting the job done, then, you know, it's good.
So what we try to do for creating dynamic company culture that really is going to allow the business to thrive as a result of allowing the employees to thrive is we invest in education.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes to us, and we come from the coaching, speaking, consulting background, where for a living we provide education. And so we're going to return that back to our employees, where if there's an event, a seminar, a mastermind, some type of association, books, or anything that they really want to invest in to improve their education, we're going to invest in that for them. Do you guys have something like that where to get better results, you're investing back in your employees?
Yeah, I mean, essentially with you know, the industries that I'm in, it's very product-based. And so you have a wine brand, right, or you have a beer brand, and so you want to make sure that your employees are educated on those certain segments. And a lot of that is to do with relationships. So they need to be able to speak to people, need to be able to interact with clients. And so we take them on ride-alongs all the time with our distributors or with our networks, and we kind of show them the ropes, you know, whether that's on a Sunday or on a work day, whatever it may be. And in the alcohol industry, every day is the sale day, so it's people drink on Sundays still, so you know, it's It's just bringing them out there with you and getting them involved and making sure that they can interact with people and just bringing them to events. We have a lot of pop-up events going on constantly. And so allowing them to get out there and kind of, figure out their flow within the game is important. Giving them freedom is really, 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 really key.
I love it because you've got a very chill, laid-back style. Is this how you kind of always are for business meetings and at work and everything?
No, I mean, it's from a suit to cowboy boots for sure. It's okay. Back and forth.
Just depending on the context?
Definitely, depending on the situation and where I'm at, depending on the city or town, for sure. But
you got to be a chameleon as an entrepreneur, right?
Definitely. You've got to be willing to adapt and change constantly. And I think you need a team that can do that as well. You need a team that can go, to New York City and present in front of a huge PR marketing group and really do it right. And then you need, somebody who can walk into the local bar and make a sale and become friends with the bartender back behind. Yeah. And so you need people kind of like-minded and that are okay with that type of a format, for sure.
Do you guys have any stories that you could share about maybe a crazy outing you guys have done or something? I know because you come from a family business as well, some fun things that your family's done to kind of get away from the business and unplug or that you've taken your employees and partners out on?
Man, I definitely love to bring people to the sites, to ground zero, where things are happening. Because a lot of times, for an example of a wine brand that I'm working on, everybody that is working with me majority of the time is in the United States. The winery is in Mexico. It's in Baja. So we love bringing people down there, getting them in the fields. Maybe they're just a distributor. Maybe they're an importer. But getting them in the vineyard, talking to them about the grapes, the varietals, where it comes from, smell this. Put this in your mouth.
So you know the actual origin of where the
Definitely.
Product's coming from.
Yeah,
that's huge.
I think, in any business from, cleaning the toilets to the highest level, they should know the same exact story and be able to teach that narrative paradigm. I mean, from a child, you're born, right out of the womb, you're taught from little kids stories, from books, from coloring, page to page. So I think everything in business is storytelling. It's the narrative paradigm. So you need to be able to tell that story in a way that gets people's imaginations going, and everybody in your business should be able to do that. So if you do have a place of origin where your product is going, whether you're a denim producer or a service provider, and that service is, selling brooms, you can bring your employees to that site, teach them about every piece that goes in and walk them through as if you're selling it to them. And they learn that story, they can go home and the word just spreads faster, and then it makes people proud of what they're doing too.
That's definitely something that people can do to create a dynamic company culture. Is the thing that separates every company is their story.
Definitely.
You can be selling the same products, you can be in the same industry, you can have the same target audience, but what separates you and what differentiates your company, your culture, your product, your service is the story. So how did you come up with knowing what story to tell? Because I think that's the problem, and that's why some people haven't come up with a dynamic company culture yet. It's because they haven't figured out their unique story.
Yeah, and I think, story kind of gets even more in depth. It falls into lifestyle, and I think that people, you can have an amazing story, but I think a lot of people want to buy a product, or they want to, work with a certain company or do a certain thing or buy something based on that lifestyle. And so, people wear Nike because so-and-so wears Nike and he lives a certain way. People buy Corona because it resembles the beach and sitting on the beach and the lifestyle of kind of that, laid back, like, oh, it's Corona time or whatever.
And they even just made their new slogan, there's a beach in every can.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's creating that lifestyle, I think, around the story so that people, really want to be a part of that. So somebody who drinks Pablo Real wines, who is that person? What does he or she look like? How old is she? What's her lifestyle? Where does she live? Does she live on the beach?
What do you think is the hardest part about creating a dynamic company culture? It's not something that's necessarily easy or obvious, because if it were, more people would be doing it. Now, common sense isn't always common practice, but in the case of creating a dynamic company culture, what do you think is holding people back from doing that? Not a lot of companies have it.
No, I mean, honestly, it's what we've been struggling with the most, just finding the right people, man. It's really hard. I think, a lot of people in my generation are just expecting everything to happen for them, and they just think that they should be given these big jobs and expect to be getting a high salary, and they're insulted that they're not getting those certain things. And so it's hard trying to convince them to, that they've got to earn it. And that's been the most difficult thing in creating a strong dynamic in the workplace is just getting people that are positive, that are motivated to come every day and passionate about what they do. And, you know, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, man. Everybody. Yeah. So you've got employees and you kind of show them the way or you teach them everything about it, then they're off doing it or doing their idea or concept, which is awesome. You want everybody that you work with to be successful. But it's hard to, you know, find those people that are going to be with you a long period of time. For me, personally, my strategy, and I'm going to give this secret strategy away, I don't like to hire entrepreneurs. I don't like to hire people who are very, you know...
Why is that?
Because, you know, I like to hire obsessed nerds in that one specific segment. So if I'm, you know, if I've got somebody who needs to manage corks, I want to find the guy who, and you know what, I'm not always trying to go for young and lean and mean and a young 20-year-old person. Yeah. I love hiring older individuals.
Sometimes take the wisdom and the experience.
Definitely. And for 40 years, they've lived, eat, slept, dreamed corks.
Yeah.
They love corks. They could, they'd have their house covered in corks. That's everything they love is corks, and that's the person I want working for my cork department. I don't want somebody who's got all these amazing ideas that's great, but, you know, then they're off kind of practicing, they're off on the side doing the side deal or this project or that project, and then your company's not focused. So, I try and be the only entrepreneur in the house at, you know, if I can, and then bring on people who are obsessed and are just pure experts in that specific arena, and then bring them as a part of the team. Mm. Just like, you know,
that's
similar
it.
To like the military, they've got a demo guy, they've got a sniper, they've got that guy that all he does is sniper. That's all he does. Snipe, 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 snipe. And that's what you need, a guy who all he does is sales, that he's obsessed with it. So finding people that are very, very, very dedicated to one certain thing and then bringing them on your team and locking them in.
I love that. That's a wrap on that one right there.
All right, man.
Elliot Taylor, thanks so much.
Sweet. Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
My name is Preston James. I've been a stock and options trader for 23 years. I used to be an active swing trader, but that all changed once I discovered my MoneyPress weekly paycheck method. These days, I'm a passive trader, hauling in more cash while being able to sleep at night than I ever dreamed possible. I'm passionate about the market, and I like to keep it simple. My methods are changing thousands of lives, and I'm confident it can change yours. But let the proof do the talking. By going to paycheckproof.com, that's paycheckproof.com, you'll see a 7-minute video revealing how my MoneyPress method grew a $54,000 account to $174,000 in less than 9 months. That works out to 5.8% per week. You'll see the proof right inside my Real Brokerage account. This isn't about overnight riches, but once you discover this for yourself, you can start on this same path overnight. You're 7 minutes away from changing everything you thought you knew about trading and investing. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
The world's largest healthcare company, Johnson & Johnson, introduced two interactive museum experiences. Johnson & Johnson, Our Story at the Powerhouse, located in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and the digital companion, ourstory.jnj.com. Alex Gorsky, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer.
What you're going to find when you go into this museum, you're going to be able to touch our past through 3D interfaces, a two-dimensional photography that highlight different milestones, the credo.
Both experiences take visitors on a journey through time and around the world as they explore the stories behind more than 130 years of healthcare innovations that have changed the course of human health. Margaret Gerowitz, Chief Historian.
Some of my favorite artifacts in the building are Band-Aid brand adhesive bandages tins, over 97 years of the product's history. Some of the fabric that was used to sew employee uniforms early in our history.
Johnson & Johnson, Our Story at the Powerhouse will open to their employees initially. And anyone interested in learning more can visit ourstory.jnj.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now, 800-303-3398.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Phoebe Heyman. She's the CEO of Seedling. Pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great.
So what does your company do, Seedling?
So we do experiential play for kids, which what that really means is that we do a range of kits to make it easy for parents to grow creative kids. Everything from design your own superhero mask right through to design your own virtual reality, and all based on kids choosing their own way to play.
Very cool. So. And I saw we're getting one of the virtual reality masks ready for me, right?
We're going to have a whole new experience
out
there.
I'm going to check it out. I'm excited. Yeah. So how did you get into this business?
So a long time ago, I have a fine arts background, and I've always been interested in creative pursuits. And, you know, one of the things when you start to get exposed into the kids' sector is you think about how is it that kids are interacting these days in terms of both in play but also in modern values. And one of the first things that I realized was there's nothing on the market that was real. So I made a few products for local market. We're bootstrapped all the way, so we started out like on $200 and very quickly grew through our first retail store, then, you know, through our first country, and then started going international, and we bootstrapped into a very sizable 20 countries, 14 languages export business.
Nice. So yeah. What do you think was the key to your success?
I think a willingness to learn. You know, background for me is in creative, but and I've always been interested in numbers and have right left parts of my brain. But in terms of understanding the wholesale sourcing, supply chain, compliance, you know, you've got to be willing to like get the book out yourself and read it.
What inspired you to really want to create this stuff?
I think that we have kids. And, you know, when you think about kids, they're a really easy area to get passionate about. You know, like when you see them sort of light up something that they made, you know, you want to keep going and experiencing that over and over with new kids. And so the more that we can, you know, get that delivered into children around the world, then it was pretty easy to get passionate about it.
What did you do before you got into this business?
Yeah, so...
Were you always an entrepreneur?
Yes, always. I mean, when I was little, I think when I was like 9, it was like my first business was actually like selling drinks at like a football game kind
okay.
of thing.
So
like,
you were one of those kids.
Always one of those kids. So, yeah, I was always like around the neighborhood, like how do we make this better, improve the system, and always creative. And, you know, I put myself through university. You know, I started out doing law and then ended up doing fine arts and put myself
where'd you go to school?
In Auckland in New Zealand.
Okay.
So, yeah, I went to Auckland Uni and then to Wycliffe for fine arts. But, you know, even then, ran my own business, being a photographer, to put myself through art school, then went and worked as a curator in an emerging artist gallery. Then did some nonprofit stuff with
You've
kids.
You've been busy.
Yeah, always busy. I think that's the thing. You're an active relaxer, right?
Yes. So. What was the thing that you did nonprofit-wise?
So I worked in the so two areas. So one was in the emerging artist category as a curator for a gallery, and the second part was you know working with a parent cooperative in New Zealand, looking at you know sort of play patterns and designing and creating a new play space for them. So
are you from there?
I am.
You are?
Yeah. So I don't sound like it always. I was born in New Zealand, and then I lived here as a kid in the U.S. For a lot of my childhood, and then moved back to New Zealand for my sort of high school years. met my husband there and had our kids, and nice. You know, we moved back.
Back here.
Yes, for business. So
you've been going back and forth and
I know.
You think you're going to stay here and move back?
Who knows?
Based on history.
Life is a long time.
Based on history, you're going back there in a couple of years.
Well, who knows? Yeah.
Who knows?
We love it. I mean, my kids are at the age now where they really enjoy a lot here, and they're very into their sports. So.
Well, how do you balance having a family and being an entrepreneur? Because I feel like those are both two full-time jobs.
I think on one side, the entrepreneurship is really great for kids to see. You know, that whole sort of like, if you want to go and do this, there's nothing to stop you.
Yeah, you can do anything you want.
Yeah. I think that's a really important message. And also seeing hardworking parents. I think like that's something that I always experienced as a kid. And I think that it leads a lot to the type of person that you are, as I saw my parents do a lot and always, you know, sort of tackle each challenge. And I'm excited to be that for my kids in terms of that, you know, that sort of, and also, you know, being a mom that works as a CEO is also like a great, I have two boys, so you know, I definitely enjoy that. At the same time, it is hard to get the time that you want with kids all the time, but I think that checking in when you're there, that's important to me. Like, that is the time that we spend together.
Yeah, it's not always easy to integrate being an entrepreneur and CEO of your own company with family life, but I feel like it sounds like you've got it.
Well, also, like, Seedling is a little bit of a cheat, right? Because, I mean, it's a kids' company, so my kids really enjoy a lot of what we make at Seedling, what we do. So.
That makes it easy when your company has to do with family life.
Yeah.
CEO of Seedling, Phoebe Heyman's joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Have you had mentors on your journey that have really played a role in your success, or do you feel like, you know, you've just kind of been going on the path alone? I feel like a lot of times people have mentors.
Yes, I think you have them all through your life. Yeah. I think there's people that have a lot of value on you.
Not everybody's blessed with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I remember at art school, I had this one mentor through my final year who was always like, it's not about the idea, it's about the craftsmanship. And and that was, you know, when you're exhibiting as a fine artist, and it stuck with me, you know, all through business as well. It's like, okay, it's not about the idea, it's about the execution and the details. So I think a lot of people leave their marks on you over the years, and, you know, if you surround yourself with great people and be open to learning, then that's the key.
Did you ever have a job that you hated?
No. I've done everything when I was.
I didn't either. But
at high school, I used to pump gas. Like, I mean, like, but I think.
But you didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. I think that I love any new environment to learn in, and I do think you probably got over it. Yeah. It's time to move on. But
so you love being creative, and you created a business out of that.
I did.
How can people cultivate more creativity? Because I feel like, you know, and there's two sides of the coin, but I feel like a lot of stuff nowadays, especially in the formal education system, is taking away and depriving kids of creativity. Not all, but I feel like a lot of the formal education system is like single file line, and everybody just goes through the conveyor belt.
Yes, and it's write the correct answer. It's not so much think about it, but like, can you repeat what I've told you?
So what do you feel like entrepreneurs can be doing to really tap into their creativity? Because I feel like so many entrepreneurs, they get pigeonholed into the way that they think it should be. And I think some of the attributes that make entrepreneurs really successful, from my experience of interviewing hundreds of people and studying ultra successful people, is they're really good at pivoting and innovating and testing. And those are all potentially synonyms of creativity.
Right.
And so, you know, they're willing to change and adapt and test. And, you know, I'm curious from your perspective, how an entrepreneur can kind of get in the environment that helps them be more creative for their business.
I think the first step is an openness. And like you said, like, you can't walk into the predetermined, like, this is the plan. And, you know, there is no linear path here. And I think, you know, there is an expectation that, like, it is a formula that you apply and you just get there, and, like, that's kind of how it works. But, of course, you have so many different elements that are working into this, whether it's, like, your people, whether it is the consumer market changing, whatever it is that happens. But I think being open to what that entails. And the second part is, are you an accurate assessor of, you know, sort of the reality in terms of your business? I think, you know, one of the things that can be challenging is if you are expecting to see something, you can almost make that happen yourself instead of actually looking at it accurately and saying, okay, well, I'm open to, like, looking at how this could play out. And being prepared to, like, walk down directions where you may not have a predetermined skill for that. So you say, you know what, maybe it's not what I thought it was going to be, but we should totally investigate that and look at it. And, like, that's interesting to see. And you'll be surprised at how those things all end up connecting anyway.
Yeah, well, I like what you said. reminded me of a quote. The mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open.
Right.
And, you know, you said you got to have an open mind. I'm hoping that the virtual reality goggles are ready because we'll be right back with Phoebe Heyman. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This report is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. Nearly 3 in 5 small business owners are more optimistic about their future as a direct result of the 2016 presidential election, with expectations that the new administration will enact across-the-board changes in business policy, regulations, taxation, and healthcare costs. Despite this wave of optimism, only 51% of small business owners regularly follow a business plan. In addition, just 2% of small business owners most often turn to free or low-cost solutions offered by the Small Business Administration, while only 4% most often seek advice from their banker. Kala Gibson, Head of Business Banking, Fifth Third Bank.
We're pleased with the positive outlook carried by many small business owners, but we also...
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
Are you dreaming of a summer vacation? It's time to stop dreaming and start booking. Hi, I'm Jen O'Neill.
And I'm Jeff Manheimer.
And we're the founders of Tripping.com, the world's largest site for vacation rentals.
With more than 10 million vacation rentals to choose from, Tripping.com makes it easy to find the perfect beach house, lake house, or condo for your big summer vacation.
And with access to all of those properties, we can tell you that now is the time to find the best places and the best prices for your dream vacation rental.
That's TRIPPING.com.
To find the perfect place to stay, go to Tripping.com today.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Now let's go to Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Phoebe Heyman. She's the CEO of Seedling, and we've got some of your products right here. Tell us about these. What are we looking at?
So this is our newest product that's just come on the market called Maze. And the cool thing here is that this is a pretty old school coffee table game. So you build out your marble, you're able to play the game, and you put in your walls. And then the cool thing is you can snap this with your phone, and we have an app that converts it into virtual reality. So you can, like, shrink inside this maze that you built, and then you can walk it. And then you can do some pretty cool editable things, too. You can add in selfies and sound recordings, all kinds of different pieces you can put in there. But we also have, to really enhance the experience for you, you can design your own VR viewer. So
what does that mean?
You can totally personalize it. So this one here.
Oh, these ones.
Yeah. Okay. So you can build out what you like. We have three different versions, like a dark side, a yarn bomb version, and of course, like your traditional sort of more art-based. But the cool thing is all about your personal style. So we can all hop into one maze together and get really creative.
So what, where is this going? What is, the future of this? Because virtual reality is really, it's been around for a while, and a lot of people realize that, but it's at its infancy stage.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you see this headed?
Well, so the way that we see digital and physical interaction is an interesting piece. It's the conversion of that. So I have this physical thing that I've built, and then I can magically make it into a digital space that I can share with you, and we can jump in there together. We look at that for all technology. So when we think about our future products, we don't think about just VR, but we also think about augmented reality. We think about capacitive touch. We think about a lot of different pieces that make you believe this piece has some magical storytelling abilities where kids design their own adventures.
Okay.
And digital has a pretty amazing ability to transform your storytelling like that.
I mean, I just played this myself. You just put the phone in one of these little contraptions here, and I got to experience it. It was pretty cool. I didn't realize that you get to make the maze and then walk through it. So what was the one I was walking through?
So we gave you the test version. Test version, yeah. Because, I mean, it would take you maybe 20 minutes to build.
So I actually structure on there.
You do.
My own, and then I take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And then the thing I just walked through would be what
I
created.
It would be the one that you built.
So do I not actually play it on here?
So you can play it on here.
Okay. So I can play the old school.
A traditional old school, steel marble, get that out and play with that.
But then I can integrate the same thing into the virtual reality platform.
Absolutely.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So this is just some of your product line, or this is all of it?
This is some of it. So we have over 300 products.
Over 300 products.
Yes, we do.
Explain that. That's a lot
it
of
is.
SKUs.
So we think about all age groups of kids and sort of what it is that the creative needs are. We have a lot in the imaginary play category. So there's things like design your own bird wings or butterfly wings or superhero capes or superhero masks. It's always very popular. Then we also do things that are more tweenish, where it's design your own accessories. We have a line that we created with Target, around that tween sector. We also have a line that's about to launch with Disney, where we create a bunch of products where you can create your own pieces that allow you to step into a Disney story. So if you're going to make your own mermaid tail, for example, into Little Mermaid, you're not going to be Ariel. We don't want you to emulate the character, but how can you be part of her story? And where would you be? Would you be her best friend, or maybe you'd be Ursula's best friend? But, you play in that world yourself.
And then through the virtual reality, they go into the world?
So VR is one that only applies to Maze at the moment. There's a new product in this category that will come out for us next spring. But, when we think about kids and play, what we're noticing is there's some really interesting adaptations to their play patterns that's happening for modern play. And it's not about the play pattern itself changing. It's not. But the way that they're thinking about it does. And a phone, obviously, changes the whole landscape of what does play mean. And, of course, they're curious about everything. So when we think about, modern technology, we think about how can we integrate in a way which allows you to play in a healthy and interesting way.
How did you end up getting somebody like Disney to be interested in wanting to work with you? Because that's not easy to do.
I think Disney had seen what we were doing in a lot of the different parts of our business and always been excited. And, their discussion was with us, we really want to think about how to create an elevated experience for our consumers around products. And, they obviously were in love with what we were doing. And so it was a pretty easy partnership for us.
So what are some of the other partners that you're excited about?
Definitely Disney in terms of expanding a little bit on our digital forefront will be exciting.
Yeah.
And then, we with Target developed those lines very, very far in the future. We also work with a bunch of key retailers that we're excited about that we can't quite release at the moment. But, there's a lot in the pipeline for us where Seedling is what we think is a great play pattern to keep encouraging our kids to come back to creativity.
So you guys are just in a really fun and exciting time in your business right now. So
we are.
I'm happy for you. CEO of Seedling, Phoebe Heyman, is joining us business right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. What is some of the advice that you have for the beginning entrepreneur? I mean, now you're working with Target and Disney and huge companies, and we're looking at your product right here, which at one point was just an idea, and that's what I love about entrepreneurs is they take ideas and they don't just turn them into products, but they, you know, impact the world and they get paid handsomely for it. So you've done that. You're now becoming an experienced entrepreneur. So for the beginning entrepreneur or the aspiring entrepreneurs out there, what do you feel like are some of the things that you know that would be beneficial for them on their journey?
I think the first thing is start with product first. You know, the product itself has to deliver what you need to. It needs to solve a problem. So one of the best questions that, you know, we can be creative around kids' products all we want to, but the question is, do kids want it? Do parents want it? And what problem is it solving? If it's not solving a true problem, then, of course, the market doesn't exist for the product. I think that's the first step is, you know, and then the second step is listening to your customer around what it is that actually they like or don't like about the product and being prepared to change it.
Constant feedback.
Okay. And I think being open to it. I think one of the hardest things as an entrepreneur is, like, you're really passionate about what you do. You might not want to hear.
That your baby's ugly.
Right. And it's kind of like, what do you do then? And I think being, you know, that's where being open to what the business looks like is very important.
So, again, on the open thing, I feel like that's something that we keep coming back to, being creative and being open. So many people are closed-minded and not open to change. And, you know, a mentor of mine taught me the six deadliest words in business as I became a business consultant was, we've always done it this way.
Yes.
And those are the six most deadly words in business, because nowadays, at the exponential rate of change happening and the world and in business and technology, we're seeing billion-dollar companies happen in less than a year, and not just based on valuations, but they're being acquired, meaning somebody's getting paid $1 billion for a company they made in less than a year. So crazy stuff's happening right now. But for the people out there that, I mean, sometimes it's young. It's usually older people that are the closed-minded ones, but we won't bundle in an age group. We'll just say for the closed-minded entrepreneurs out there. What do you have to say to them? Because you're all about open-mindedness and creativity and trying to cultivate that in our youth, which I love. But for the people out there who maybe struggle to try new things and they struggle to be open-minded about new business models and new ways of thinking, what's your advice to them?
I think that the thing that leads to that usually is an inward view, in terms of, like, you can only see your own world that exists, and, you know, stepping into the shoes of other people is always exceptionally important. So, you know,
being able to associate and disassociate with things,
right? You know, and I think when people are telling you something about where they think you should be heading, they have a reason for it. So, you know, like, digging in deeper instead of just kind of saying, like, well, no, is always important. And I think that's where, you know, having those dialogues and discussions where you can find out a lot of ways to improve your products or your company, or, you know. And disruption isn't natural, right? Like, I mean, that's the whole purpose of the word. So I think if you really do want to go out and create something that's new, one of the hardest things you watch on, like, a Shark Tank, for example, is people go out and they're just, like, adamant that they're right. It's like,
on Shark Tank?
Yeah.
They go on there and they're arguing with the sharks.
Right. And you're kind of like, you know, maybe someone's, you know, this is the balance of the entrepreneur, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's like, you want to stick to what you know and, like, what you feel in your gut is the right thing. At the same time, you also need to take on board, there are life lessons people have. They've learned and they have a lot more experience. So how do you, you know, sort of balance between those two?
So I want to shift back over to the product here and talk about, you know, the hardest part of getting this made. Because I don't think people realize when they see it in the box and it's laid on the table like this, cool, it's done, that's awesome. But you know how difficult it was to make this become a reality.
Yeah.
All the thought that went into the branding and the words and who was going to manufacture it and what materials you were going to use and what was going to be inside of it and so much more. So could you share with us what this process looked like to make this become a reality? Just in an overview?
In an overview, it's a lot of great people. And I think that, like, that is the reality of entrepreneurs. You can't do it yourself. If you want to scale your business, there's no opportunity to do that on your own. Like, when I look at these products, the first thing I see is, like, all the people that were involved in, making all those decisions.
And they weren't
me. You know, I think that's the key. You know, like, there's a phase in your company where you can do everything and be the everybody. And, like, when your company is small. But the only way for you to become truly powerful in terms of as an entrepreneur and also as a business in the marketplace is for you to have people who bring their best and their most creative and their exciting kind of forefronts for this. So when I look at this, I see, you know, a dedicated team and a great amount of people who have really pushed through to be able to deliver on the marketplace. And it's everything from, you know, global supply chain, great creative direction, really, really good understanding of, like, product process. So we actually, our company, have a CPO that sits above both physical and digital product, because we want the user to have a good flow, whether it's physical or digital. It's not, they're not exclusive.
So your advice to somebody who's looking to get into maybe not necessarily the same space as you, but they're looking to take the idea that they have right now. They're at home. They love watching Shark Tank and shows like ours, where they get to see other successful entrepreneurs on a similar journey. And what's your advice for the person out there who goes, I've got an idea. Phoebe sounds amazing that she's been able to do this.
Yeah.
I want to take my idea and take it out of the marketplace.
Yeah. I think break it down to steps. I think what's your first step? And what are your first indicators of success? So, like, you know, for me, it was taking that to the first retail store and them saying, like, well, we'll sell it. And if it doesn't sell, come pick it up. And I was like, okay, that's a fair test.
So getting clear on short benchmarks of what success means.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then how you achieve those. And I think focusing on one at a time is the easiest way to get there.
I love that. Simple advice. And it boils down to basically something that is a very common theme amongst successful people, and that's get very crystal clear on the vision of what you're going to achieve and then figure out how to reverse engineer that. Was there somebody that taught you how to do that?
Little steps. No, but then I'm a natural problem solver. So, like, I see a problem, I'm like, got to attack that.
So for a natural problem solver like yourself, is there some type of format that you do when solving problems? Untying Gordian knots.
I think I think talking and finding out as much information on it as possible. I'm not research heavy, and that, like, but I want to know and understand the situation before I make a call on it. So a lot of time, my team will be like, "Well, we have to explain this and then that," and then eventually, like,
do you align with Albert Einstein's belief, which is if he had 1 hour to solve a crazy problem that he was basically, it was something like he's Albert Einstein's in a room. And he has to solve a problem in 1 hour. And if he doesn't solve the problem, then he dies. And so he said that he'd spend the first 55 minutes of the hour just trying to ask the right question.
I totally agree with that.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
So it boils down to, in order to, not only, I think, to have a better quality of life, but to solve problems, it boils down to effective questioning.
Absolutely.
I love that. Phoebe, pleasure having you on the show.
Great to meet you.
Loved your product.
Thank you.
Excited for your guys' future.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs, 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text DISCOVER to 37913. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why ASU Online's bachelor degrees are ranked in the top 1% by U.S. News & World Report. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, text DISCOVER to 37913. That's DISCOVER to 37913.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own.
Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
So how can you find the right social channels to grow your brand? This is Business Rockstars. Justin Wu is going to help answer that question. He's the CEO and founder of Growthly. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Justin, take it away, brother. How do we do it?
So we didn't focus so much on what platforms first. You have to first identify who's your target demographic and who exactly is your customers. For example, you take a look at platforms like Pinterest. There's heavily women on there. Snapchat, more so millennials. I think a lot of people are getting caught up on all these different platforms and getting confused by all these, like Periscope.
And they think, I need to be on all of them.
Yeah, you need to be on all of them. Yeah. You have to just first find the ones that are kind of resonating.
Where's your audience, basically?
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you don't know, then just simply go look at your competitors. That's like the most easy way. Or other businesses or publications that are targeting kind of your similar audiences. You just have to go find out where people are hanging out on digitally or online.
Okay, so let's break it down.
Yeah.
First thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, is get really clear on where your audience is hanging out. What social platforms? Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? Is it Pinterest? Is it Snapchat? Once you've identified that, then what do you do?
Then after that, you're going to want to take a look at what kind of conversations are happening or what kind of content they're consuming. Again, the best way is to look at other existing businesses and just see what are they posting every single day and seeing what people are commenting, whether people are liking, and just think of it as a consumer perspective in terms of what kind of content you should be posting. Once you kind of identify what the expectancy of what people are looking for, then you can start kind of modeling your content templates to be very similar to those businesses.
So there's a big trend happening right now. You're obviously aware of it, and that's video. Video is getting on all the platforms. Instagram's doing it. Facebook's doing it. Snapchat originated with using video. Everything is kind of shifting over to short-form video content. But a lot of people are doing it wrong. And so what's your advice for the person out there? Should they be doing written content? Should they be doing video? Should they be doing both? And then what is the right way to structure your content so you're not just putting random stuff out there that has no relevancy?
Yeah, so in my opinion now, video is dominating on both, and I think LinkedIn's going to have video
very soon.
And it's just, to me, it's the best tool for anybody to just pick up and use, just because now, especially with the introduction of Snapchat and Instagram stories, people don't need high production, highly produced videos anymore. They just want authenticity and good storytelling. And what video allows you to do is really get to your audiences and speak to them, similar to what TV used to do, where people were engaging on different shows, and live stream is also getting more and more popular. In terms of writing, I don't think people like to read as much anymore. They're just trying to be on the go, or they're just trying to listen to content fast. The best kind of tips to jumpstart videos is to go out and immediately like look at the platforms and start creating, like, even if you do slideshows. We're seeing that a lot of kind of like what BuzzFeed did for like the articles, like top 10 things. People are just doing slideshows or top 10 things because it's still visual. And they can just do audio overlay. That's a great way to just get going, just because it autoplays and just captures people's attention from the get-go.
I love that one. What are some other things? Because I feel like when it comes to creating content, I've heard a lot of different things. But I think some of the best stuff is it needs to be short, needs to be goal-oriented, needs to be able to have something in it that allows the individual to know what they need to do to take action next. And then it needs to be relevant based on what's going on in their life or their business right now. CEO and founder of Growthly, Justin Wu, is joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about which social media platforms you should be on to grow your brand and grow your business. We've gone over some great things so far. What have we left out?
In terms of like a different finding out different channels,
yeah, like what mistakes do you see people making when they're on social media as a brand or business?
Yeah, so the biggest mistakes I've seen in terms of like thinking about social media is everybody is focusing on just, I mean, content is important, but distribution is just equally as important.
What do you mean by that?
Getting an audience, because everybody is posting out content and they're not, you know, buying ads to boost
they're
out.
They're basically hoping and praying.
Yeah, because everybody now is making a lot of noise. And an introduction again with like Snapchat, live streaming, and Periscope and all that stuff has kind of lowered the barrier in terms of content creation, where everybody is becoming a content creator now. And because of that, it's becoming more and more noisy, right? And so I've seen a lot of people hit their heads when they're trying to figure out social media. They're focusing too much on content and not even trying to figure out how to get that content piece out. And so I've seen people who spend so much time writing a long blog post and then they put it out and they hope that Google will magically give them traffic.
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen. Sometimes you have to take that piece and go out and try to like share it across all the different networks, different platforms. And then from there, find your distribution channels.
So I heard something phenomenal, and I want you to answer it for us. There's three ways to get traffic. You can buy it, you can borrow it, and you can create it. What are some strategies and tactics and ways that people can either buy, borrow, or create traffic?
You were just lightly talking about
buying.
Yeah, so buying is just Facebook, Instagram ads. They're still, to this day, is probably one of the best ad platforms.
Basically paying to target an audience and put my content in front of them.
Yeah, and they have very, very good targeting in terms of settings.
And the metrics are amazing. You can see
metrics
everything.
Yeah, metrics is amazing. And it's becoming more and more easier to just like quickly promote your content pieces.
So let's talk about borrowing.
In terms of borrowing, there's free places you can go to Facebook groups to really get your content out to the right audiences.
Interviews is a great one. You're borrowing our audience right now.
Interviews, collaborating with other kind of content creators or just people within your space. And they don't have to be big, but just talking to interesting people that are within your industry.
Okay, and last but not least, what's a good way to create traffic? We kind of talked about
it. Yeah, in terms of just creating traffic, what you want to do is essentially, once you've got your single channel, then you start expanding out to multiple channels. Let's say you have a one-minute video. Then take that one-minute video and then just post it all across your other social media.
On YouTube and everything else.
You can
post it on Facebook, you put it on YouTube.
Yeah, because again, it comes down to increasing your reach. And essentially, somebody might find it on YouTube, and then as long as you link it back to your other social media channels or your website and email capture, and now you're creating, you're like in five places at once.
I love that. Yeah. Simple and powerful advice. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Biz Talk Radio.
Thank you.